101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Welcome to Seasons, the program that explores issues about the environment, agriculture and tourism in South Sudan. I'm your host, Philip Wani. Today, we put our focus on the protection and sustainable conservation of South Sudan's natural resources. The country's economic and security situation make it more complicated to effectively conserve the underutilized natural resources South Sudan is endowed with. In some instances, overuse of natural resources is depleting resources and threatening biodiversity. Increased poaching and habitat loss are straining coexistence between people and wildlife. Today we are talking to an expert and a development actor as they share their experiences on how the country can benefit from their influence towards addressing the environmental conservation. To understand more about the protection and sustainable conservation of our natural resources, I am joined by the European Union Ambassador to South Sudan, Pella Anderson, and from the South Sudanese Youth Biodiversity Network, Dazangapai Donas Kumburani.
I'm very happy to talk about this subject. It's something that not only the EU stands for, but I have a personal interest in this as well. I told Donas as we were preparing for this discussion that I started out my kind of professional career following up on the Rio conference on environment and sustainable development. So there's a strong personal interest here as well. Well, there are several motives, and I would like to start with the one which is directly associated with the future of South Sudan. These resources, the natural resources here, must become part of the future of South Sudan. It's an incredible asset that has the potential of creating jobs, creating an industry, and so it's really an investment in the future. To be able to safeguard these resources, and then in some future, when this country achieves peace and stability, these assets will be here for people all around the world to come and see, and for the proud South Sudanese people to actually show the world what's going on here, because the richness of the biodiversity here. Everyone knows about the great migration, the largest migration, yeah, mammal migration on Earth, but you also have the incredible waters of the Nile that spread out in the Sud wetlands. You have migratory bird movements, and you have also incredibly rich biodiversity in many places. So these are assets that we need to safeguard for the future, and it will help South Sudan prosper.
Then, Donas, on your side, you've been actively involved in biodiversity protection campaigns in South Sudan.
Yes.
What inspired you, really, your work? And tell us more about what you do.
Thank you very much, Mirai FM, for hosting us today. And this kind of opportunity doesn't always happen, but thank you really so much. Basically, what we do is more, first of all, when we look at South Sudan, we come from a story of first-hand environmental problems happening in South Sudan. So we have seen first-hand effects of climate change. We have seen floods, we have seen droughts in some part of the countries, and it really inspired me to put the word out there. Like, it's inspired me and plus a couple of others to put the words out there so that they can also be able to be aware of the things happening, to understand what is happening really. Because they can be flowers, they'll be like, oh, we have flowers, there's things, but they don't know the reason why this is happening. So we have this sense of instilling in the people to be aware of what's really happening. And yeah, that's basically what we do. And we do this, of course, through creating awareness, like organizing educational workshops to the young people in South Sudan. And also we organize cleanups So these are the way we do it.
Let me get back to the ambassador. In many parts of the country, that's South Sudan, communities depend directly on the environment for their livelihoods. How does the EU approach conservation in a way that also supports community development and resilience?
Thank you. No, you're raising a very important issue here, because conserving environment is not only about protecting wildlife and biodiversity. It's also about finding resolutions to the conflicts of interest that actually always happen in this work. People have been living off these lands. People hunt game. And there's also strain, there's competition for these resources. So any effort to conserve the environment also needs to have this human aspect and conflict resolution, finding ways to engage the local population in any effort. So I think we have projects that are related to this, where we involve also the local population in the work on wildlife conservation. So it's a multifaceted approach. You cannot, just protect the land, put a fence and let the wild animals be, because that's not the way it has been. There's always this interaction with humans.
Yeah, humans interaction with the environment. Yeah.
So it's a complicated issue, and of course, it's also a complicated issue for a government, because in order to, the vision I talked about here about the future, where this could be an asset for tourism and other places, you need to build infrastructure. So it's about roads, it's about bringing electricity to the camps.
Yes.
It's a very complicated also from a society's point of view. It needs coordination between not only the tourism ministry, but also the minister of transport, the minister of education. You need to have skilled labor. So it's actually a quite complicated and massive effort to do. But could I also comment on the more broader issue of climate change? Because
yes, you're welcome, please.
Because we have in my interventions earlier, I've talked a lot about the biodiversity and the conservation here. But we cannot ignore the big global issues here, and I'm so grateful to all these young people that are engaging on issues of climate change, of protecting biodiversity, not only for the local development but also as a global resource. We are also looking at now in the international community to develop a protocol or a convention on plastic pollution. And we talked about it a bit before.
Yeah,
this is a big problem here. I can see it as I've been traveling around in Juba. The rivers are filled with plastic. So regulating this and seeing how commitment at the local level, like you demonstrate, Donas, and connecting it to the global discussion on these global challenges, I think is really very important.
Yes.
So we are happy to help that dialogue also, the connecting the local discussion with the global discussion.
All right, thank you. Donas, what are some of the, of course, biggest environmental or biodiversity challenges you see in South Sudan, and how can international partnerships help address them, as you already mentioned a bit about it?
These are things which are evident and everyone sees it. And although I said like most people don't talk about it, we have issue of deforestation really happening in the country, whereby, there's illegal cutting down of trees happening. So it's really a bigger challenge. And people have different interests why they do this. It can either be for their own benefit, but at the end of the day, they're damaging the environment. Also, as you mentioned earlier, the EU, there's the issue of climate change. Climate change is really a bigger challenge in South Sudan. I see that it's really a big challenge. Then there's this illegal hunting, which is, as you mentioned, that's interaction, but people have kind of devised this to be something else, not just, they just have illegal hunting and all that. So these are one of the biggest challenges I'm seeing. And also, as you mentioned, of course, the issue of plastic is just everywhere. And as you mentioned, and I'm very excited, you mentioned that you're ready to help, to step in, to support us. I think from the international partners, we should look at this kind of initiative being brought up by young people, you know, even if it comes to creating awareness or, you know, this initiative of environment, protecting the environment. I would request the international partner to step in and support the youth, because now the youth of South Sudan, they are already being aware of the challenges they're having when it comes to environmental protection, but there are major challenges, what? Funding, the support and all that. So I would really appreciate if really international partners steps in and support the youth in order for them to implement the ideas.
Yes, going back to the issue of these challenges, you know, of biodiversity, we know very well that the environmental law is not yet out. There is no current laws at the moment. And how do you think the absence of this law, how does it impact on the protection of environment?
Well, I would say, you know, for something to work out well, there should be guiding principles. And I really feel like people who have not really cooperating to the protection, they're doing in absence of regulations. So I would really call, if maybe there are regulations like that, there are laws like you have mentioned, it will really help us to guide on, you know, prohibiting certain habits, you know. And I think the absence of this vital role, laws, I mean, is really creating more impact.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Welcome back to Seasons. This week, we are focusing on the protection and sustainable conservation of South Sudan's natural resources. We will also look at mitigation strategies, including environmental policies, to address the gaps in conservation. The youth play a critical role globally in climate and environmental action. But do South Sudanese youth have enough support to advance conservation goals? Let's begin with the EU ambassador, Pella Anderson.
Actually, I see great hope in young people, because I'm getting a bit old, but I started my work being a young activist on environment. So that's actually how I started. I got expertise and eventually was recruited into government to pursue the goals. And I sometimes, during my career, have lost hope that we will be able to manage these big global challenges. But the youth movement now and the increasing voice of the young people around the world, I think, gives me hope that there's a chance to actually address these issues. So we are going to find ways to engage with young people here. We're looking at that right now, establishing some kind of youth sounding board where we would interact with young people, not only on environment, but also on peace and security, on girls' education, on education issues in general. So this is an effort that we are going to pursue, to listen in and hear the young generation's view on the future. I would like to come back to some of the issues you raised, Donas, because illegal felling of trees and deforestation issues, also the poaching and illegal hunting, all this also happens in an insecure environment. So I think that's also where, you know, you asked about the environmental law. It's a matter of priorities, I think. If you don't even have a constitution in place, it's hard to push. I am not saying we should not push for other laws, but there's also this bigger question about actually creating peace and stability in this country. So ultimately, everything is connected here. We need to keep on working very hard to create the conditions here for stability, peace and development. And that would pave the way to deal with these other issues, which are now very difficult to actually deal with, like the illegal felling of trees and deforestation. Happens in areas where there's conflict, very hard to monitor, very hard to actually, even if you create laws, you won't address the issue because the insecurity is there.
Yes, Donas, from your experience on the ground, what practical measures can communities take to protect the environment and even wildlife, while, of course, they are meeting their daily needs?
Okay, thank you very much. There's one thing we should know. The communities are always the one who are closer, the closest to the environment. And when it comes to protecting the environment, of course, they should count in. To me, I think the community should engage in what they can do is to engage in sustainable use of resources. For example, when we look at the challenge of cutting down trees for making maybe charcoal and all that, so we should introduce in the things like energy efficient stuff, so it doesn't require a lot of energy, because we as human beings, of course, we need energy, we need to use fuel and all that. But I think if the community engage more into using energy efficient stuff, this can be one way of how the communities can engage. And as also mentioned, the community are the custodians of the environment. So if they instill in them this feeling of protecting the environment, this is one way they can contribute to protecting the environment. And I also think engaging in activities like tree planting. In a community, you can decide, like, let us plant trees.
Yes, how can they protect the wildlife?
Yeah, they can protect the wildlife by being the what they call the ambassadors for the wildlife. Like being, maybe going on, engaging in patrols, or being the eyes of, because we have organizations in South Sudan, some few organizations that aids in the protection of the wildlife. But if they engage, if the community engage in being included in the conservation process, that can be a very good way of how they can help in protecting the wildlife.
Ambassador, the loss of wildlife and forest cover, of course, is often linked to insecurity and displacement. How can conservation efforts contribute to peace building, stability in South Sudan?
Yeah, no, it's an important question, and that's what I meant earlier in my comment also about more multifaceted projects. It's not only about conserving, it's also about engaging the local communities in the work.
Yes.
And Donas, I think you brought up this example of really engaging at the local level. I think many conservation efforts are absolutely best made by locals. They know the environment better than anyone else, and they also have a very keen interest in safeguarding that environment. So I think that grassroots engagement is critical for any success of this. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you need to go up to the laws and to the state's obligation, the international community's commitments to the reduction goals of for the climate change, etc. So you have all these layers, but they need to be working in synchronization. And I would argue that maybe the most important is really this engagement at the local level. That's where you can see the effects of our work.
Donas, many young people feel climate and biodiversity issues are too big for them, to influence. What message would you share with youth who want to get involved but don't know where to start?
Okay, thank you very much. This is one of the, you become overwhelmed, like, how do I start? Where do I start from? So my message to the youth is that, a change is a change. Change starts small with you. So it doesn't matter, there's no change, either it's small or big, but the little contribution you give, create an impact. So nothing can be done if you have done nothing. So the smallest change, what I can tell my fellow youth, the small change matters. So even if you just, maybe you see someone throwing down a plastic, you'd be like, hey, can you stop? Don't throw the plastic. So that's all the change. Or you organize tree planting exercise in your community where you are, in your local, maybe even in your own compound. So that's what I'm trying to communicate, is that the little changes matters. So you don't have to be, doing some biggest impact, having the biggest tree planting projects and all that to make a change. So that's what I can tell the youth. Change matters. It doesn't matter how big or small it is, but change starts with you, either small or big.
Just a bit of it. What would be your appeal to the government, communities, and even international community for a stronger biodiversity protection in South Sudan?
Of course, my appeal is we really need to have a stable environment where we can be able to exercise our will to protect the environment. So we really calling for stability, like, in the country. And of course, we have different sustainable development goals, and South Sudan itself has signed to over 8 of them already. And of course, peace security is one of them, one of the sustainable goals that South Sudan signed up for. So I think my appeal would be, like, we should really create a conducive environment, a safe environment for people to organize, you know, to really participate in the protection.
Okay, thank you. And finally, Ambassador, what does effective cooperation between government and other partners look like? Where are the gaps that still need to be addressed?
Yes, we are working to support various projects, but also in coordination with other actors. As I described earlier, it's a quite complex material with many ministries that needs to be involved. We are partnering with international partners and government authorities to coordinate this better. So there are structures in place for this, which is helpful. But as we were walking into the studio, we were discussing, you know, these big international meetings that are happening in New York and now in mm-hmm. Brazil to follow up on the climate change. They have become very, very large meetings, quite expensive to go there, and also very difficult to get access to the decision makers. So one idea here is also to bring these international meetings back here, to highlight and prepare for them here. It comes to the Climate Change Convention, but also the Sustainable Development Goals, to bring the debate about the implementation of these global goals back here into the country. Mm. I think that's one way to also make the linkage between the global decision-making and the local discussion. So I hope for the next time we do a Sustainable Development Report here, that it's really a broad-based inputting into the process, including on biodiversity and the different goals that are related to protecting our environment.
And Dzanga Pai?
The young people really have great challenges when it comes to accessing these international negotiations. So in your words, it's good if it's brought back here, and it will really create a change. And young people will also be able to have a taste of what's being discussed. Mm. Most oftenly, decisions are made for them, but without their notice.
That was a representative of the South Sudanese Youth Biodiversity Network, Dzanga Pai Donas Komborani, wrapping up this edition of Seasons. Today, we explored several factors, including policies and community engagements that are necessary for protecting and sustaining natural resources in South Sudan. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can join the conversation on Facebook at Radio Miraya or on X at Radio Miraya. I'm Philip Wani. Join us again for another edition of Seasons on Tuesday after the 1 p.m. news, with a repeat on Sunday at 6 a.m. Thanks for listening.